Brothers, this morning to Psalms chapter 51. And while you're turning, I want to say this morning that I'm looking forward to the meeting this week and what God is going to do in our church and in our hearts. And of course, we'll meet each night, 7 o'clock each night. And so pray for the revival meeting and pray that God will do something. What I'm preaching on this morning, I promise you, I need this message and you need this message. And not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the Word of God. I think every church in America needs what I'm preaching on this morning, and I pray that God will use it to help us. And really, the Lord spoke to my heart early this morning about this passage of Scripture, and I really believe that this message is probably what will set the theme for our meeting this week, although God may do a lot of things that we don't anticipate, but I really believe that's why He laid this Scripture on my heart today. Psalms chapter 51, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, we'll read a few verses of Scripture and pray, and then you can be seated. Psalms chapter 51, and notice with me in verse number 1. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltless, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with a sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar." Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, if you would, to help us these next few moments. I want to thank you for your presence. Already been here during the song service, during the offering time. And I pray now, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and give us the words. Help me this morning not to say anything that would be of the flesh or anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would guide us this morning and, Lord, speak to all of us in a personal manner. Save the lost and reclaim the backslid. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice when we come to Psalms chapter 51, if you're a Bible reader, you know that David, this is one of the seven Psalms that David wrote after David had lied or he had committed adultery and he had lied and he had even committed murder and he had sinned. And of course, Nathan the prophet comes in and puts his finger in David's face and says, "Thou art the man." And I want to say on the outset, thank God for preachers that have enough God and have enough grace and have enough grit to look people in their eye and tell them the truth. Amen. Had it not been for Nathan's obedience to God, David may have never repented of his sins and got right. And when I think about it in my life, men of God and preachers that have preached to me before when I wasn't saved and when I wasn't right with God, and even after I've got saved, those men of God and their faithfulness to the Word of God is what has kept us on track all these years and kept us in the right way. And I would say thank God for preaching this morning. And when we come to this text, Psalms 51 is a song and a psalm of David, and it is a song of repentance. David is experiencing Psalms 51. He is experiencing experiencing revival, amen? And David is experiencing revival because David is real. When you read this psalm here, you know that David is being just as real as what David can be. He is remorseful. David has much sorrow because of his sin, not because he has got caught, not because his sin has been called out, but David is remorseful because David realizes that his sin has broken the heart of God. You see, when it comes to me and my sin, it's really not a situation between me and you or between me and somebody else or you and somebody else, but our sin, we have to realize, is really to be dealt with between us and God. Amen? You see, I'll illustrate it like this. Everybody else may be okay with my sin, and everybody else may say that my sin is okay, but I tell you, it doesn't really matter what people say and what people think. What matters is what God thinks about me and about my sin. And so David is remorseful, and obviously David is repenting in this psalm here. This is a psalm of repentance, and David's repentance in Psalms 51, I want you to note, is personal, but it is also very practical. When you read this psalm, you can understand very clearly that David is rolling out his guilt, he is rolling out his sin before God. Isn't that the way we have revival? Amen. It's when we just come clean and we just come honest and we don't try to sweep our sin under the rug and we don't try to dress it up and we don't try to justify it. There's no justification for what David has done, and there's no justification for the things that I have done and the things that you have done. And David is going to have revival because of repentance. His repentance is personal. His repentance is practical. Hey, David's repentance is penned. Amen. It was written in 1 Samuel. How would you like for God to write down your sin and my sin for all the world to read about and see? Well, David's sin was all written in 1 Samuel. Amen. Or 2 Samuel. We read about the sin of David, don't we? But when we come to Psalms 51, David himself writes down his sin. I know it's the Holy Spirit that is leading him and guiding him, but David wrote so many psalms. But when it comes to David's sin, no doubt one of his greatest psalms that he ever wrote was about his failure before God. And David, his repentance is penned, and it is public. It is for all the world to see. I mean, think about this. The heading of Psalms 51 in my Bible, maybe your Bible has a heading for that psalm. It says, a song of repentance. Amen? A song of repentance. Now think about this. David turns his private sin into public sorrow, into public, and into a public song. Amen? I mean, David writes a song about how that he sinned against God. You know, a lot of people like to write songs about the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God. And I like those songs. Amen? But we need songs, amen, that makes us want to get right with God, not just feel good, amen? And David here is writing about his sin. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject here, on a revival of repentance, amen? A revival of repentance. We're going into revival this week. And I tell you, if I have revival, if you have revival, here's what we got to do as individuals. And this is what I think God is calling on us to do as a church. We have got to repent over our sins. Amen. And it's not going to do any good for me to look at you and to point out your sins and for you to look at me and point out my sins. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the last pew. If we have revival this week, we've got to repent and get right with God. Amen. Now I want us to think a few minutes this morning in this psalm here about this revival of repentance. And I want to ask you a question before I give you these 3 points this morning. I want to ask you, are you serious about repenting and getting right with God? Are you serious about revival? Are you serious about God doing something in your life? Is the service this morning personal to you? Do you want to move up closer? Do you want to get right with God? You see, if you you don't want to get right with God, I can't make you. Amen? And nobody else can make you. But if you want to get right with God and have revival, I'm here to tell you this morning, the door is wide open. Amen? But if you go walk through that door, here's what you and I have got to do. We've got to let the Holy Ghost evaluate our life. And if he puts his finger on something, we got to be honest enough to deal with what he wants to deal with in our heart and our life. Amen? Do you believe God wants to deal with you this morning? I believe he wants to deal with me. I'll take it a step further. I need to be dealt with. We all need to be dealt with. And this morning, if I shut God down and say, well, I don't want to be dealt with, then I'm not going anywhere with God. God didn't come this morning to have church just to hear pretty singing. He didn't come to church this morning just to hear an outline. You know why he came to church? He wants his people to get closer to him. He wants us to get right with him. David even makes it clear. He said in verse 13, then will I teach, when he gets right, David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what? Sinners ain't going to get right if the church don't get right. Somebody said, wonder why people don't get saved as much as they used to. Well, I think one of the reasons why might be the day we're living in, but I'll tell you another reason why, because the church has lost power, because there's a lot of sin goes on in the church nowadays, and a lot of times it just gets ignored and it gets swept under the rug, and godly grieves the Holy Spirit. That's just plain and simple, and there's not the liberty, there's not the freedom, God's not able to work, God's not able to move, because there's too much sin in the church. I'll tell you, this week is about me and you getting right with God. And if we'll be earnest in it, my friend, God will do something in our life. He'll do something in our church, and he'll do something in this community. Amen. I want you to see in verses 1 through 6 here the example of true repentance. You see, David, in these first 6 verses, he gives us an example of what it is for a man to truly, or a woman to truly repent. Repent and get right with God. You see, he gets real humble and he gets real honest and he gets real hungry for God. And if you and I repent, we will have to get humble. We will have to be honest, and we've got to be hungry for God to do something in our life. Notice in verse number 1 and 2 that David says, I'm very sinful. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Now, I think you'd agree with me that God showed every one of us mercy last night, didn't he? Amen. He watched over us through the storm. The Bible says he hath his way in the whirlwind. God protected us. I know many of you prayed as I prayed, dear God. I said, Lord, would you watch over our community? But Lord, would you watch over our church family? Lord, I don't want to have a funeral this week. I don't want somebody in this church to die. Dear God, would you take care of us? And I want to recognize the fact that he did that. Amen. And we have experienced God's mercy. Amen. But when you get to the last of verse number 1 and you look into verse number 2, notice David says he's very sinful. He said, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. Do you notice that David uses 3 words there that has to do with his own sin? He uses the word transgression. He uses the word iniquity, and he uses the word sin. What is David saying? He's saying, God, you're merciful and I'm very sinful. Amen. Hey, that's how you get right with God. You start out agreeing with God against yourself. Amen. Against your sin. And David is very sinful. Look at verse 3 and 4. You'll note that David is very sorry. Look what he said. You say, how do you know, preacher, David is sorry? By the first 3 words. He said, for I acknowledge, amen. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Amen. You see, David acknowledges his sin. You know why some people don't want to repent? Because they don't want to own up to their sin. Now, if you and I have revival, and if we truly repent, we just have to wave the old white flag and say, I have sinned. And we have to say that we are sorry for our sin. Amen. Preacher, I want to get right with God. Simple. Come down here to this altar. Tell God you're sinful. And then tell God you're sorry. I'll tell you, people, and I've met people, a lot, and you have too. I'm sure faces will come to your mind. But I have met people that never say they're sorry. They always blame somebody else. I worry about if those people's truly saved. I really do. When you can be ugly and nasty to people and never say you're sorry, I have a question about that. Does the Holy Spirit not ever tell you that you're wrong? Does he not ever convict you about the things you've said and how you've treated others? You know, one of the evidences of being saved is that God shows you who you really are. I could go around this room today, and you could too, and we could say, well, let's see what sin you got. Let's see what sin you got. Let's see what sin you got. And I guarantee we'd find sin in everybody's life, wouldn't we? Because the Bible said if one should mark iniquities, and that's what I would be doing, who could stand? But I cannot do that today for this reason. I live with me. And can I tell you this morning, I have enough problems with me today. The Holy Spirit, every time I preach a message to you, and you know, as a preacher, you just, when God gives you a truth, you got to preach it. And you got to pin your ears back and pull both hammers back and pull both barrels at the same time and not worry about feelings and what people are going to say and what people think. And I think you sitting in the pew, that's the kind of preaching you want. Amen. You didn't come for me to tickle your ears and tell you how wonderful you are. And I don't want that kind of preaching. And that's commendable on your part. But at the same time, I want you to always remember this. No matter what I say to you, no matter what I preach to you, I always know while I'm preaching how sinful this stuff I'm wrapped up. What a failure that I don't need anybody to tell me how big of a failure. I mean, if you do, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm just saying I don't need you to tell me that. I already know how big of a failure I am this morning. I know I'm not even worthy to stand in this pulpit and preach. It's only by the grace and call of God. But I worry about people that they've had problems with person after person after person after person after person, and they can't see what the common denominator is in their life. I wonder if those people are saved. Because when you get saved, you start repenting in life. I mentioned it on Wednesday. You repent over your sin. You will tell God you're sorry, but you will tell other people that you're sorry. I mentioned it just the other day. When my dad got saved, I didn't know if my dad really got saved. He drank for 42 years. So when he got saved, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be happy for him. I wanted to shout, but I really didn't shout. I thought I'd shout if my daddy ever got saved, but I didn't shout because, just to be honest with you, it's a lack of faith. But I had seen him pour alcohol out so many times, as I've said before, but I wasn't sure if it was just another phase in life or did he really get saved. And how I knew he really got saved was when he cursed and he looked at me and he said, "Son, I'm sorry." That's a work of grace. If you're a person that never says to people you're sorry, you need to evaluate your life. David says he's sorry. If you've wronged somebody, do you want to have revival? I'll be honest with you. I think this is how we can have revival in a heartbeat. If we get right with God, but maybe we got to get right with each other. Maybe you've sat in a pew and you've been mad at somebody. Maybe you've sat in a pew and you've not spoken to somebody. Maybe you've sat in a pew and you've talked about somebody. I'm just preaching this morning. Maybe you've sat in a pew and you haven't said or talked about nobody, but you've thought things about people that you shouldn't have thought. Well, Brother Gravity, I'll tell you, I know how they are. Oh, I know that, but God don't want to put the microscope on them so that you can examine them this morning. What God's interested in is putting the microscope on me and the microscope on you. And God wants us to see ourselves. He doesn't want us to focus on others. And I'll be honest with you, if we was as hard on ourselves as we were on other people, we would have revival. Amen. And self-examination is what a spiritual man does. The Bible said a spiritual man judgeth all things. He's not talking about running around and being judgmental. He's talking about he keeps himself under that microscope of the the Word of God and lets the Word of God keep him in check. Amen. And what I'm saying this morning, a lot of times what grieves the Holy Spirit may be things that are never said, but it may be some, may be things that linger in our hearts toward one another, but God knows it. He knows everything that's going on in our minds and in our hearts. And I want to say this morning that if we have revival, a good example of true repentance is when we say, Lord, I'm sinful. Lord, I'm sorry. And then he says, Lord, I'm sincere. Look what he said in verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David, how far are you going back to tell God you're a sinner? He said, I'll tell you how far I'm going back. I'm going back all the way to the start. Amen. David said, My sin problem didn't start when I fell with Bathsheba. It didn't start when I lied. It didn't start when I murdered Uriah the Hittite. David said, I was born a sinner. I came into this world a sinner. And David said, dear God, I've always been wicked. I've always been a sinner. I'm telling you, friend, if you and I have revival, we'll have to get sincere, that we get self off the throne of our heart and life and see our ugly self for who we really are. Amen. Get sincere this morning. It's not my brother and it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want to say this morning, David is a good example in these six verses of true repentance. I ask you a question. I may not finish the sermon this morning. If I don't, I'll come back tonight, maybe. You never know, do you? I mean, we got 7 days. And then we got 4 more all day. Surely I can finish something, amen. Wouldn't you like to see God turn this place upside down? See a bunch of people get saved and get right with God. But I tell you, we got to get sincere. It's got to be more than just about, you know, I think it's one reason why God wouldn't let me get a preacher on my heart. It just needs to be us this week. It just needs to be all of us just getting right with God, whoever that is, whatever that is. You know, you can get right with God every day. You know that. By morning time, just get up and pray. The example of true repentance. Don't. You may be the key to revival. You may be the key to the church, and you may also be the one that, you may also be the lock that's got it locked down. And nobody may not know anything but the Holy Ghost, but that's enough, isn't it? Because we need healed. I see the example of true repentance. And then I see the earnestness of true repentance. Look at verse 7. Look at what David said. I underlined these in verse 7 all the way down to verse 12. Look what he said. He said, purge me. And then he says, wash me. And then in verse 8 he says, make me. In verse 10 he says, created me. In verse 11 he says, cast me not away. He said in verse 11, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In verse 12, he said, restore unto me. David, what are you saying? David is saying that I'm earnest about repentance. I'm being as earnest with God as I know how. I'm acknowledging my sin because I want God to cleanse me. I want to be free. He said in verse 7, from sin's defilement, purge me with hyssop that I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He wants to be free. Don't you want to be free from the defilement of sin? He said in verse 8, I want to be free from sin's deafness. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You let sin get in our life, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll dull our hearing. We'll come to church and we won't hear the voice of God like we used to. We're not tender. We're not sensitive. We can sit through sermons rather than get help out of sermons. Just sit there cold and indifferent and just hard, and letting the fallow ground build up in our life. I don't want to be like that to you. I want to be broken like David said. I want to hear joy and gladness. You know what joy and gladness is? It's the hearing of the Word of God. It's hearing God's voice falling on your ear. I'm telling you, if God is speaking to you right now while I'm preaching, you ought to thank the good God of heaven. He'd grace your ears and pass by your way. I'm telling you, I don't want to go to church and sit through church and just be mummified and go through the mechanics of worship. I want to meet with God, don't you? I want to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. David said, God, my sin has deafened me, has defiled me. In verse 9, he wants to be free from sin's disgrace. He said in verse number 9, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquity. He said, God, I'm so wicked you can't even look at me right now. Would you hide your face? Would you blot out all mine iniquity? I'm telling you, if there's sin in our life, it'll disgrace you. He wants to be free from sin's damage. In verse 10, He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know what sin does? It damages our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all. Who can know it? The worst thing a person could ever say is, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. No, follow God. Follow His word. Don't follow your heart. I want to tell you this morning, I can put a suit and a tie on. I can get a Bible. I can put a Bible under my arm the size of a coffee table and come to church. But God knows what goes on, and I can be dirty in my heart. I'm telling you, we can sing the songs, we can have a good crowd, we can have a good meeting, and we can go through, and at the end of the day, we could all say, man, that was a good service, and maybe be right in what we're saying. But I tell you, God is more interested in having a good service. God wants to clean up some hearts, amen. God wants to work on the inside out, amen. He wants to get down in the recesses of all of our soul. He wants to do an eternal, and listen, sometimes it may be things we don't want to have to deal with, and things we don't want to have to face. I'll tell you, if you want revival, if you want to get right with God, if you really want to repent, you got to say, Lord, I want to be free from all of sin's damage. Amen. Free from sin's doom. Look what he said. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'll tell you, I know we can't lose our salvation. That's not what David is saying here, but we can lose the joy of our salvation, can't we? Now I'm telling you, we're doomed if God don't put his hand on us. Amen. We need the presence of God. You can be saved and be out of fellowship with God. And David, listen, he was out of fellowship with God. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. I'm telling you, I don't want to go to church and be on the outside looking in. I want to be on the inside. Amen. I'm telling you, when God passes by, I want to get it on it. I'm telling you, when God's got a message, I want to hear it. When a singer sings a song, I want to hear God to touch it. Amen. I want to be in tune with heaven, don't you? I want to be in tune with Him this morning. I'm saying, friend, that's what sin does. It dooms us. It separates us from fellowship with God. Why do people get saved and come out of the world, get in the church and love the Lord, and then get out of church? Simple. Sin separates. Sin always separates. And he wants to be free from sin's depression. Look at this in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy. This is huge. The joy of thy salvation. Uphold me. Notice this. Young people, look at that, with thy free spirit. You want to live free in life? Live for God. You know what sin does? It doesn't give you freedom. It gives you bondage. It shackles. I got a dear friend. He's out of the ministry today. He's in church. Him and his family is serving God now. He was a great man of God. But he fell into sin. He called me one day just weeping on the phone. He committed adultery 3 times. Nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it. His church didn't know. His wife didn't know. The other adulterer, her husband didn't know. But he told me, he said, Brother Gravely, he said, I don't know how anybody that's saved can do that and live with himself. He said, nobody knew, but God knew. And he said, for 2 weeks, he said, every time I opened my eyes in the morning, he said, as soon as my eyes would open, he said, the thought would flee across my mind. Is today the day that your sin will find you out? And he said, after 14, 15 days, I couldn't take it no more. He said, I went to the other adulterer and told him, I'm getting right with God. He said, I'm telling your husband. He said, I'm telling my wife, and he did. Took his wife and he stood before the church and he told the church. And the church wept and loved on him. And he called me. He said, I'm having to leave the area that I'm in. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, we've lost everything. I said, why don't you come by here on a Sunday? Come by here. And he sat right back there in that corner. And I was preaching a couple years ago up in a state not far from here. And while I was preaching, I saw him walk in the back door and sat down. I wanted to talk to him after the service, but as soon as the invitation began, he left, and I didn't get a chance to speak with him. And when I saw that man, a great man of God that preached, as I was preaching that night, I watched him sit on the back row. Brother Laddie, I was trying to keep focused on my message, but I couldn't help but notice his countenance. I'm talking about a man that got right, but he sat there, and you know what sin will do? It'll depress you. Look at the world. You know why they're taking drugs and inking themselves up and metal all over? I look at sinners and I feel sorry for them. I know if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be there, wouldn't we? I had a man shake my hand this week in a meeting, and it's funny, I was preaching a revival right across the street from three bars. I started pulling, coming down the road, me and Mr. Nolita was coming down the road, and I saw all these cars, Brother Laddie. I said, man, this is the largest crowd I've seen in a long time. I don't know how they're getting all them people in that church. And I went in the church, and there was about 60 people, but across the street in those three bars, there must have been 300 people there. That's a good place for a church to be, right across from three bars. And the pastor told me, he said a few weeks, and one of those bars is a biker's bar. And so they had a lot of motorcycles there and had some bikers out there in the front of that. It's open, the bar was open, no windows in that part. And he said, I was standing out there one Sunday morning, he said there was about 15 of them sitting over there on the sidewalk, and they had their ladies, or not, I shouldn't say ladies, you know, but women with them. And he said, I walked over there and I introduced myself to him. I said, fellas, he said, I just wanted to come over here and introduce you. He said, I pastor this church right here. And he said, I just want to introduce myself to you. Gave them all a gospel track. He said, and I tell you, anytime you want to come across the street, he said, our doors are wide open. He said, we'd love to have you come. He said, it'd be a blessing. He said, they were actually very kind to him. And he said, I turned around, and he said, when I was walking across the road, he said, a guy on a motorcycle had came in. And said, this guy came in and said he had, and I saw the guy, that he was there at the meeting. He's inked all over his face and down his back of his head and down, and he used to ride with the outlaws. He said, I just witnessed a bunch of bikers that come in, and God sent a biker in. He said he was talking to that guy, and that guy was already saved. He said, I was just looking for a church to go to. He said, man, you'll fit in right perfect here. And I saw that guy the other night. He said, you know, he had curse words written all over his body, tattooed all over his body. After he got saved, he said, one by one, he's been trying to get those curse words. Of course, he doesn't know. You know, he hasn't been... taught, you know what I'm saying, like we have. So, you know, instead of he's getting the curse words taken off, and now he's getting another tattoo that says Jesus or the Bible. I mean, you know, don't you go do that, amen. I mean, at least the guy's covering it up. I like to see sinners when they get right with God. They want to do what they can. And I shook that man's hand, and he looked like somebody that would slit your throat three times and then go eat a bologna sandwich, you know. But I shook that man's hand, and I'll tell you, when I talked to him, you could tell he was saved. He was as saved as any of us. And you know what I saw in him? I saw joy. He talked about the Lord, and he wasn't there on Friday night because a group of outlaws, a group of bikers, they had heard about him getting saved, and they didn't know what salvation was, but they heard about the change in his life. And so, you know, the outlaws are not good people. Y'all know that, don't you? They'll kill you if they get an order to. But they asked him, would he come and share what happened to him? And he was all fired up about it, you know. He was going over there to what he called preach to him, you know. You see what he's saying, preacher? I'm saying, here's a guy that lived for sin. He lived for the devil, and he was miserable. The devil will make a fool out of you. He'll ink your body from head to toe. He'll run metal around you He'll do anything he can. He'll rob you of your purity. He'll strip you of your decency. Sin does not do anything good for any of us. It ruins us. And it doesn't leave you happy. It leaves you sad. It leaves you depressed. But I'm going to tell you, David, when he got off into Sin, David got what he wanted, but it cost him everything. The sword never departed out of David's house. And as I mentioned the other day, David's life can be divided into two parts, before Bathsheba and after Bathsheba. And I promise you, if David could hit rewind and go back, he'd have never walked out on a rooftop that day. He'd have never stayed home from the battlefield. Sin, my friend, will depress you. But thank God, I'm glad there is forgiveness of sin this morning. We can get right, amen. David got earnest and David found forgiveness. And you and I can get earnest and we can have forgiveness this morning. Then notice in closing, verse number 13, the evidence of true repentance. What is the evidence when somebody really repents? That your witness will be right. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. David said, I'm not going to teach people to do wrong. I'm going to teach them the Lord's ways. When you get right with God and repent, your witness will be right. Your worship will be right. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltless, O God. Thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Notice he's not just singing about the Lord, but of his righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Repentance brings the right kind of witness, the right kind of worship. Your worship will be right. You know why people struggle to worship? Why they struggle to get in? They get in a service and they sit in a service, but they just can't get in on a service. I'll tell you why. If we get the sin out of our life, if we get right with God, there's liberty. I'm telling you, not just to worship here, but thank God you can worship at the house. Amen. You can open your Bible in the morning time. You can drop on your knees in prayer at the house. And the same God that shows up in these church services, he'll show up in your living room. He'll show up in your back bedroom. He'll show up in your automobile. You can be talking to somebody else. I'll tell you, like rivers of living water, it'll run out of you sometimes. Worship is not just something we do when we walk through those doors. It's just here. It's just an extension of the reality of worship in the home when we're right with God. Amen. Don't you love reading your Bible? Don't you love praying? And your worship will be right. Your will is going to be right. Look at verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Look at this. Else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. He said, Lord, I'd give you anything you want. And when we repent, that's how we are. Lord, whatever, thy will be done. And your weeping will be right. The sacrifices of God. Look at this. Here's what God wants. He don't want more sacrifices of offerings. It's a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Now here's what David said. God, you don't want more bullocks and rams and, oh Lord, you want me to get broken. You know what God wants out of us today? He wants us to get broken. Broken over our sin, broken over ourselves. I ask you this morning, is there anything, I don't know your life and I wouldn't judge you this morning. But do you need to repent? You know, if you got children that's not saved, you ought to go and get right with God. If you got a good home, a good marriage, God's been good to you, you ought to want to get right with God. I don't think no church member sitting in a good church ought to ever have aught in their heart against another church member. You know, we're one big family, aren't we? And let's face it. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves, don't we? It happens. But if you're spiritual, you don't let that divide you. You don't let things, this happened, that happened, or, well, I didn't get asked to do something and so-and-so did. You know, that's going to be very shameful at the judgment seat. No, I tell you what we look at this morning is, there's one thing we all need this morning. We don't need titles. We don't need recognition. We don't need, you know, any type of accolade. No, what we need this morning is we need God. We need, when we walk through the doors of this church, we have a beautiful church. We take good care of it, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. This place means nothing. Brother Laddie, wouldn't it be no point, would there, if we didn't have God? I don't come here to see how pretty the walls are or the carpet or, you know, and you don't neither. I'll tell you why I come to this church, because God's here. And I won't stay here because God's presence is here. And when our children was coming up, we wanted to keep them here because we knew they could get help from God here. But I don't want to let sin get in my life and it grieve the Holy Spirit. And this morning I ask you as we stand, as they get a song ready. We want to have revival this week. And I don't want to go to church and everybody have revival but me. I don't know what you need this morning. But I'm telling you today that the Lord's merciful. If you can, the greatest thing we could ever learn to say to God and other people is, I'm sorry. And if you can say that, you can move forward with God. But if you don't, you're just stuck. You're just stuck until you can own up to things yourself. You'll just sit there. It may cost you more than you're willing to pay, but if you need to come, Brother Sam's going to sing. You obey God this morning.